Today's gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 4. And it's printed in your bulletin. And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days, 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him. And suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So normally when I preach on this passage, and it comes up about once a year at the beginning of Lent, normally I say, let me get something out of the way. I am not going to be talking about Satan today. That's a whole other topic. It's a big distraction. It's a different sermon. It's a different lesson. We're going to do that another time. A different day. Well, today is that day. We're going to talk about Satan today. So just as a matter of introduction, when I read the passage here and we were talking about the devil and Satan and all of that sort of thing, what picture came into your mind? I would imagine for many of us, it would be around the same idea. And the best way that I've heard it phrased was by the eternal eminent sage Everett Ulysses McGill in the film O Brother, Where Art Thou, who said, "Well, there are all manner of lesser imps and demons, Pete, but the great Satan himself is red and scaly with a bifurcated tail and carries a hayfork." And I would imagine many of us can picture that in our minds. That's the image that we have in our heads. Or maybe he's got goat horns or goat legs, or he's ugly, or he's got these big black wings, something, right? I mean, he's nasty, he's red, all that sort of thing. Here's the thing, though. That doesn't have any root in any sort of scripture anywhere. That has more to do with Dante and Milton than it does with Daniel or Matthew. It's just not in there. A lot of it is just imagination, which is fine. I mean, that gets to some truth, I suppose. But we can't take that all too seriously. We certainly can't read that into this part of the scripture. Because if we have that picture in our minds that Satan appears and he comes out of the wings and there's, you know, probably special effects like at a Styx concert or something like that, smoke and fire and all this sort of thing, and all of a sudden he comes out of nowhere and the lead guitarist is playing in the background and all that sort of thing. If that's your devil, then this is more of just like a straight up fight. He's the big bad evil, and the good guy is going to contest against him. And so in that case, Satan's the very obvious villain here. But that's not really what's going on, because we're here for temptation, not for a fight. If someone's walking around and they hand you a pamphlet and then hand you a clipboard and said, "We would like for you to sign our petition," if they're wearing a swastika on their lapel, you're probably not going to sign that paper. Because whatever they're offering you, you probably don't want that. That's not a matter of temptation. That's just a matter of keeping your eyes open and not being duped. So this isn't really temptation then, if Satan is this sort of devil. If he's this, you know, big, epic evil, then it's a fight. And it's evil to be resisted, which is simple. A simple thing, really. Matthew says Jesus isn't out there for a fight. He's led out there by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Okay, so let's put that image away. Maybe when I was reading through the passage, you pictured the opposite of that. Because doesn't it say somewhere in Isaiah or the Psalms that that Satan is referred to as the bright morning star, which is where we get the Latin name Lucifer. And he's supposed to be this fallen angel, right? So he must be beautiful. And in fact, some theologians said that he was the most beautiful creature ever created, God's crowning masterpiece. And so maybe we pictured a beautiful man wearing a fine cut tuxedo. He's got Fabio hair flowing in the wind, and he's got a jaw like a young Harrison Ford. I mean, he's just a picture of beauty and manliness. But if that's the case, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only cynical one in the room, but if something seems too good to be true, normally I can pick up on that pretty quickly. I mean, you've seen people, you've seen preachers, I'm sure, who have this big smile plastered across their face, and you say, I don't believe that for a second. That's about as fake as it comes, and I can see through that. That smile's a little too broad. They're a little too polished, a little too smooth. I don't trust it. There's something going on here. We tend to be suspicious of something that's too good to be true. And if that's what our Satan looks like here, if that's what the devil looks like, then it's not really a temptation. It's just a matter of figuring out the truth. It's more of a detective story than a temptation story. Who is it that is not what they seem? Whose pretty little lies do we have to get past? That sort of thing. If you see a salesman on TV, you are not tricked into thinking, oh, they really care about my well-being and they want this product to make my life better. You know, my kids were saying it this morning. We were turning the radio and they heard something, and it was a barbecue restaurant, and they said, one of my daughters said, what was that? And the other one said, they just want your money. Don't even worry about it. That's a true story, really. One of them is counseling the other, 5 and 6. Don't worry about it. They're just trying to take your money. We know that. But if that's the case here, then this is deception, not temptation. Jesus didn't go out there to figure out the whodunit. He didn't go into the desert to play a game of poker. He went out there to be tempted by the devil. So then what are we dealing with? Satan, and you read it a few times here, although you only saw the name once, actually means tempter. That's literally what it means in Hebrew. It's the tempter. So it's not this big, bad, pure, evil, red horns, wings, whatever, hay fork. And it's not the slick salesman in a polished suit. It's neither one of those things. It is a tempter. And that's it. That's all we're given. That's his job. And he's very good at it. Writers write. Bakers, they bake. That's what they do. The tempter tempts. And he knows his business inside and out. He's very good at his job. And the thing about temptation is this. It's subtlety. It's subtlety more than anything. So if you're a big red bad guy or a smiling sophisticate, then that can be seen through and resisted rather easily. No, I think Satan looks rather like you and me. I think our tempter looks an awful lot like us. And that is because the tempter always promises something that we deeply, deeply desire. That's what real temptation is. You know, the chocolate on the counter, we know what we're getting into there. That's not really temptation, that's just a matter of willpower. Real temptation tends to want to get at something deep in us and contort us just enough to make us go on the wrong path. And that's what the devil does. He tempts Jesus masterfully. Masterfully. So let's consider them one by one. First is, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And I've always looked at this and I said, would that have been a sin? I mean, if you eat, is that wrong? And it comes from this place of, you know, if Satan is to be fought or resisted at every turn, if he's some big bad guy that you're boxing with, then yeah, you don't do what he tells you to do. Or if he's a trickster, of course you wouldn't, because he's probably got something up his sleeve. But that's not the case in either one of those things. Those are simple enough to avoid. The real thing here isn't that he's trying to warm up or anything like that. It's a real, legitimate temptation. And it is this. It is about the you. If you are the Son of God, then command these stones to become bread. The thing behind the thing in this is you. You know, I think you can do this, right? I mean, if you're the Son of God, you could do that. You could take care of this. It's not about the bread. It's about the you. It's about you are strong. You are powerful. You are able to do amazing things. You're a talented guy. You can handle what this world throws at you. You've got this. You can do this. You got this. That's the temptation. And it's prevalent in our world, just as it has ever been. We value those who don't need a handout. We put a high priority on pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps. And we like to rely on our own strength or wit or experience. And we respect those who do, who don't need help from other people. We say things like this all the time. We tell our children, you can do anything you put your mind to. We say, you can be anything that you want to be if you work hard enough for it. The Army used to say, be all you can be. And a couple weeks ago, I said, you do you, girl. You do you. We have these things all over our culture, and we say it all the time. The problem is, often we can't do these things. So we had a clog, like a real slow drain in one of our bathrooms in the tub in Brunswick. And so I went to the hardware store because I'm a homeowner now and I'm supposed to be adulting. And so I go to Home Depot like four or five times. I get a new plunger because I don't want to put the toilet one in the bathtub because that's gross to me. So I got a new plunger, tried that out. I tried like a snake. I bought one of those little ripstick things that you stick down the drain, then you yank back out. I even got like an auger, so I took like the whole thing out and I ran the big metal pipe down there. I tried Drano, that was like the first thing I tried, that only made it worse. Until finally, after like, I don't know, we're out like $75 and like 3 days of dealing with this thing, finally I break down and I call a plumber. And so I'm taking him through all of the things that I did. He was there about 2 minutes and he had the thing unstopped. And I said, okay, so if this happens again, what should I do? Because I'd like to be able to handle it. You know what he told me? Call the plumber. Call a plumber. That's what you do. He says, Drano is about the worst thing that you could ever pour down a clogged drain. It only makes it worse. So often we think, I got this. I'm smart. I'm educated. I'm strong. I'm capable. I'm intelligent. I should be able to do these things. And when we rely on our own strength so often, we fall short, and that's just the way that it is. Jesus has a similar sentiment here. He says, we don't live by bread alone, but by God, by every word from the mouth of God. We live by God. We can't, but God can. It's a great answer. It's the right answer. But here's the thing. Satan is really, really good at his job. And he's paying attention. He's listening. So his next temptation is, he takes him up to the top of the temple. Very top of the temple in Jerusalem, where all the faithful will be coming and going all throughout the day. It is seen by everyone. And what he says is, why don't you throw yourself down? Throw yourself down. You won't be hurt. God will catch you. He'll send his angels concerning you. And it seems stupid to us. Why would you do that? It's some stupid little stunt. Of course you're not going to jump off the roof of a building. Who's an idiot around here? But listen to the temptation in it. It's genius, really. What he's saying is, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're such a clever boy. You didn't fall for it. It's right. It's not your own strength. It's about God's strength. So rely on God's strength. If you're the Son of God, then you really need to put yourself in his hands. I mean, that's what you need to do. That's what he'll catch you. Put yourself in God's hands. Prove that you really have the faith. After all, you're his son. You're special. You're something special. Israel struggled with this temptation throughout their entire history. This idea that God had chosen them, that they were special, they were different, they were important, and so God was on their side and nothing would be able to happen to them, except, of course it did. They got this idea into their heads. We can do anything because God is on our side. We can go to war. We can attack somebody. We can swindle our neighbors and take all of their money. We can do all of these things. We can do whatever we want because God is on our side. Of course that's not the case. What sort of sense does that make? Except when we start telling ourselves we're different. We're special. We're the people that God likes. We're on his side. Here's the thing. We're in Lent. And Lent, I hate to spoil it for you, we don't win Lent. It wins. In fact, Lent is about losing. It's about loss. It's about giving up. It's about being defeated. Throughout this journey, we will journey ever closer and shed off all the more. And when we finally come to that final hill, we meet face to face with the cross, where we have to give up everything if we're going to follow Christ. We're not in this to win it. We're going to lose. We can't shirk from that. We can't escape it. We can't do like the disciples tried to do and avoid it. We're in this for the long term. We're in it for the long term. What Jesus replied was, God doesn't need my prodding. God isn't the one who needs a test. So no bargains, no tricks. We're doing this God's way. And I'm not going to try to force his hand. The devil has one more trick up his sleeve. Takes them to a high, high mountain, and he shows them all the kingdoms of the world, maybe all that have ever been. And he says, I'm going to give them all to you. Every single one. You can have every single one of them if you'll just worship me. If Satan is some big red guy, then obviously this is his last big haymaker punch, and you see it coming a mile away, and it's easy enough to avoid. What do you mean worship the devil? What are you, stupid? If he's some trickster salesman, then his mask just fell off and you see the truth of him. His smile fades away, and now he's getting desperate. He's putting his last push in. Either way, easy, easy to dodge. But he's so good at what he does. This is a temptation, and for exactly this reason. It's everything that Jesus is here to do. Jesus is here to save everybody. And what he's saying is, you win. You can have it. I'll give it to you. You can have it all. And you don't have to go through all of the things that he says that you have to go through. You don't have to do the pain. My way, there is no pain. There's no struggle. There's no torture. There's no humiliation. There's no hardship. You just win. You just win if you'll just do this one thing. You've got to admit, that would be a tempting thing. You can shortcut. You can warp to the end of the game. You can find this cheat code and you can win. And you don't have to go through the whole ordeal. Wouldn't that be nice? If you don't have to struggle anymore. In a way, all of these temptations are really centering around the same thing. It's about your own strength. Your own strength. Can you do it by your own power? Or can you force God to do it for you? Or can you rely on someone else who will do it for you, give you the shortcut? Some maybe all-knowing saint who says, I can give you everything you've ever wanted. I can do it for you. I'm connected. I know. And they're all the same. It's all the same. Are we going to rely on ourselves, our own power, and what we can do? Or are we going to rely on God and all of what that means to rely on God? Matter of fact, Jesus has to face this temptation over and over again all throughout his ministry. When he tells his disciples, hey, we're going to Jerusalem, and it's not going to end well for me there. I'll be killed. His disciples say, well, let's not go to Jerusalem. Peter says, well, that's a bad plan. Let's find a different way. I promise you, this won't happen. You know what Jesus says to him? You're Satan. You're the tempter. Because this is exactly what he promised me in the desert. This is the same thing coming at him over and over again. Is it going to be me and my way, or is it going to be God's way? We're going to rely on our own talents, our own work, our own specialness, our own network, our own connectedness. Or are we going to rely on God? So before I came here, about a year and a half ago, there was another church. But they didn't find me. I insisted, and I wanted my resume to be sent to them. We got pretty far in that process. We were down to the final two. But it didn't work out by the grace of God. I was trying to force something. I was trying to do it my way. But it wasn't the right way. And I know that, having been here now for these number of months. This is God's will. And I didn't come looking for this. This wasn't my own power. This wasn't me manipulating the system. I believe God's hand was in this. And I'm so grateful that I was given a very direct path to it. This call found me, and that's the difference. When we go out into the world and try to shape it to our own will, it falls apart in our hands. No matter what we're promised. Remember the temptation in the garden? Man, you're not going to die. You're special. God loves you. And matter of fact, you can be just like him if you shape the world the way that you want it to. But we can't. We can't. It has to be God's way. And Christ has shown us the way through temptation, real temptation. We don't have to seek our own glory. We can empty ourselves, and we can leave behind our false sense of control, because it's not real anyway. We can follow Jesus all the way to our crosses, our own crosses, and give ourselves over to the will of him above. And we can join Christ in saying, I worship the Lord and serve only God. May it be so.